sky blue days. These are sky blue days. When the CBS and the SBA will fight to the end and lead the way. Sing out together.
Sky Blue Fans TV, for the fans, by the fans.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Sky Blues Fans TV podcast. Tonight will be a shorter pod. Unfortunately, due to technical issues, our pod recorded last night with Ben Koskowski, myself and Victoria, unfortunately was unable to be recorded. So this will be a brief pod just discussing the QPR game with a couple of score predictions added in at the end. So it's been quite an interesting week for the Sky Blues. This week we've seen the arrival of Jake Bidwell from Swansea, the departure of Tyler Walker to Portsmouth, the unfortunately apparently injury to Matty Godden, who appears to have had a burst appendix and will potentially be out of action for up to 6 weeks. And also we have the QPR game that is coming up on Saturday at the start of a massive week for the Sky Blues, where they face 3 games in the space of a week, all against teams above them and in the playoff race. So it's definitely a make or break point of the season for the Sky Blues if they wish to continue with their playoff aspirations. So my thoughts on Jake Bidwell signing for Swansea is that it's a great signing. We are going and getting another proven championship performer who has basically played, I think, over 400 championship games now. He's played for Brentford, he's played for QPR, he's played for Swansea. He's been in the Swansea side that have reached the playoff semi-final and the playoff final last year. He had 8 assists last season for Swansea. Him and Connor Roberts were probably one of the best wing-back pairings in the league. He's fell a bit out of favour under Russell Martin, who is looking maybe to revamp the team, and some of the players from last season's playoff final team have kind of been phased out or moved on. He gives us cover in a problem position. Obviously, we have Fankati Dabo, who has been playing there out of position, who unfortunately is struggling with a pelvic/groin injury. It's probably going to be another couple of weeks out. And we also have Ian Mattson, who has kind of struggled for form a bit in the last couple of weeks. And also, he picked up quite a hamstring injury, I believe, from Mark Robbins' presser today, that he is back in light training at Chelsea. But obviously, with any hamstring injury, there is a concern that you don't wish to rush him back. Josh Reid, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to be deemed to be ready to play at championship level at the moment. So obviously, Jordan Shipley played there on last Saturday against Peterborough. Played really well, balanced, left-footed, got forward, really good attacking option, linked up play well, could have probably had a goal maybe with a good shot. Really looked to link up well with Matty Godden and put balls into the box, and definitely looked somebody as an option there alongside Jody Jones. Maybe if we're chasing games, that we can definitely utilise. I would obviously have severe concerns against for Jordan Shipley up against a proven championship performer, which on Saturday he would come up against Albert Adoma, who is probably one of the best championship wingers players, a massively experienced player, in really good form for QPR at the moment. So I feel there is obviously, I'll be very surprised if Jake Bidwell isn't starting, which is a bit harsh on Jordan Shipley because he has played reasonably really well the last 2 games, and I still think there's a player there for us. It's just we need to get the level of consistency out of it, and I don't feel the system we play at the moment really suits him, and I don't think he's going to be in the pecking order that he's going to jump ahead of Callum O'Hare, Jamie Allen, even Jody Jones, I think, to play in the box formation that we seem to be operating at the moment. So it's a bit harsh. Obviously, I don't think Portsmouth will no longer be interested in from speaking to some of the Portsmouth fans and also the Portsmouth podcast regarding Tyler Walker's move to them. And they seem to think any interest they had in Shipley is dead in the water. Oxford are a name that keeps being bandied about. Obviously, he wouldn't have to travel far. And I could see the logic in him going there. Shrewsbury is another one, but whether that's just the matter of fact that he was at the Shrewsbury game watching Marco Morosi play, who he's quite good pals with. Bolton is another team that he's been linked with, but again, I'm not sure whether he'd get regular first-team football there. But I, maybe, like I say, Ian Everett, ex-Coventry lad, maybe he could fit in there and do well there. But I'm not convinced that we should be loaning him out. Moving on to the departure of Tyler Walker. I've been quite vocal on my opinions on Tyler Walker. I think there's a player there. As I spoke to the Portsmouth newspaper for an article and also the POM4 podcast, I outlined the case for Tyler Walker. He's a finisher. I don't think he's had a run in the side that other strikers in the past under Mark Robbins have been given it. I look at Mark McNaughty for one. When he was off form, Mark Robbins stuck by him, played him almost into form, and then reaped the rewards of the fact that those 6 months, probably from January up till the end of the season, were probably the best 6 months of Mark McNaughty's career, arguably, and that led to the move to Reading. Obviously, other strikers like Jordi Hiwula, Robbins has backed and eventually got them into form. Connor Chaplin, he backed him to a degree, and then obviously we moved him on for not really losing any money to Barnsley in the summer of our promotion winning season. Obviously, Max Beamu as well, he stuck by. I just think Walker's had a bit of a harsh deal this season. He came on against Forest, played all right, helped create a bit of problems and linked up quite well, replacing Waghorn. He then played against Northampton, scored, had another goal wrongly ruled out for offside. Played again at Barnsley, played really well, had a good chance, then unfortunately injured his shoulder, fell out the team, then was back to just the odd sub-appearance. Then obviously he came back in against Blackburn due to the fact that Matty Godden was suspended for 2 games, and then obviously I think Martin Waghorn had COVID or was just getting back over COVID. He played and scored. Played reasonably well. He played and then scored against Preston and then got dropped for Matty Godden against Derby, which I felt was a bit harsh. I know Matty Godden had been in great form, and on the back of Godden and Jokeres destroying Fulham and how well they played, and I know Matty Godden scored a hat-trick for the under-23s prior to the Derby game and was playing reasonably well. I just felt it was harsh on Walker to get dropped. I definitely think there's a player there that we can utilise. I just started to see the signs towards the end of his cough stint currently, especially the Millwall game where he had a chance early on and just kind of got it trapped under his feet and just maybe lacked a bit of conviction. But he's quite selfish and maybe he takes a shot sometimes, and if it goes in, it looks good. But then if he fires it wide, which he has been doing on occasions with some, it doesn't always work, and he's not going to chase around like a Maxime Biamu or other players that we've had in the past to really work hard for the team. That's not his style. His style is get the ball in the box, and he's a brilliant one-touch finisher. He will score goals, but he needs a run of games, and he hasn't had the 10 games or so with it. Obviously, Mark Robbins was saying a couple of weeks back that he liked the idea of playing the front three, which was obviously Vic, Tyler Walker and Matty Godden, and I would have liked to seen that in games, but I'd like to seen that earlier in games, not with maybe 5 minutes to go where he was coming on in games. It didn't seem to really help him or work him. I think he's the sort of player who needs regular starts. So he's obviously gone off to Portsmouth. got his first 90 minutes under his belt against AFC Wimbledon, which is hard to judge him on because he had basically just come through, then joined on the day and not had any training with the team. I think there's definitely a player who could help Portsmouth. Obviously, in the light of Matty Godden's injury, it's galling. It happens the same week and we don't seemingly have any recall clause on it. And so it also come to light that the fact that it seems that we funded the Jake Bidwell deal at least till the end of the season by loaning Tyler Walker out, which just leaves us a bit threadbare up front. But a player who was having a better goals per game record than Ivan Toney, and it being the COVID season where we got promoted, I think you can't knock the player. And also, he's been top scorer at his last three clubs, at least one season there. Obviously, Cowley wants him because he's had him at Lincoln and been quite successful there. So I think really the hope is that Tyler Walker gets himself back into some semblance of form. We get him back in the summer and we see where the land lies. But I think there's definitely a future for him at Coventry City. I just think he wasn't going to play ahead of Godden, Jokeres or Waghorn. In hindsight, now obviously we've lost Godden, he would have been third in the pecking order and probably might have even got ahead of Waghorn. But yeah, now obviously he's opened the door. Well, the door has opened for Tavares to jump up to third choice striker, and we need to see what he can do for us. Moving on from obviously Tyler Walker's departure, there's been an update to a couple of transfer updates today. It seems that Marcel Hilsner will be leaving the club within the next week or so. The German seems set to return back to Germany, possibly to a German second division team. Unfortunately, his Coventry career hasn't really got started to any degree. Basically, unfortunately, due to illness, ill health, lack of fitness, basically. He had a spell at Oldham, which he played well in some games for them. And then I think the coin the Oldham fans that I spoke to was his fitness got worse and worse as the loan spell went on, which is quite sad because I know from people who've spoken to him, he's generally a nice bloke. He's been training hard at the academy. He's just not been given any chance to play. And obviously with COVID, it must have been quite hard being in a foreign country, not being well himself, and it's just not working out for him. So I genuinely wish him all the best back in Germany, and hopefully he gets his career back in track in the same way as I wish the same for Wesley Gibello, who obviously was announced as leaving the club last week as well. The other transfer news is that Coventry City were apparently, according to Andy Turner, had a scout at the last Aston Villa under-23s game. It is believed the target is young Aston Villa striker Cameron Archer, who has been quite prolific for Villa, mainly in the EFL Trophy for their under-23 side. He's been banging in goals at quite a good rate. He also came to more national attention with a superb headed goal against Chelsea in the League Cup, and also a hat-trick in the previous round away at Barrow. He's definitely someone who potentially we definitely need to try and look at getting somebody on board to provide cover for Godden. The only question mark would be, I would imagine that Steven Gerrard, when he loans him out, will want him to go somewhere where he's going to be almost guaranteed first team football. There were rumours that obviously Preston were set to snap him up, but there has been, at the time of this pod on Friday evening, there has been no confirmation of that deal. So I personally would love it if Cov managed to sneak in and gazump Preston for the deal. There are obviously rumours that there are other clubs potentially. I know QPR's name has been bandied about as a possible target, along with several other unnamed championship clubs. The other target whose name has been bandied around quite a bit, but whether it's a realistic prospect, is Derby County's Tom Lawrence. Obviously, in light of the recent news that Derby's financial woes seem to be no sign of getting any better, Tom Lawrence's name has been linked with several other Championship clubs. I believe, obviously, Tom Lawrence would be an ideal fit for Coventry City, given the fact that he provides us cover for the Callum O'Hare role and the number 10 role, but also someone who can play wide and he can play through the middle as a striker. He's been arguably one of Derby's top performers this season, with some cracking finishes and great performances against some really, really good Championship sides. But with wages rumoured to be around £30,000 a week, I don't think that's anywhere near within Coventry City's budget. But it's come to light today that Saturday's opponents, QPR, are also being linked with him. Bournemouth are being linked with him as well. So I think, unfortunately, sadly, that deal is a bit of a non-starter for Coventry City at the moment. Before we move on to just a brief preview of the QPR game, obviously the other options available in terms of the striking options we have up front, obviously there is the potential of maybe moving Jody Jones into a more forward role, potentially Callum O'Hare maybe in a more attacking role as like a second striker. The other option, Wilber Parga, who had been playing quite well for Grimsby in the National League, but seems to have fallen out of favour and then been recalled back to Coventry City with rumours of alleged misbehaviour in terms of being late for training sessions at Grimsby. Or the other option would be to potentially look at recalling Danny Cashman from Rochdale. Danny Cashman obviously had a decent record for Brighton under-23s in their under-23 league. Was surprisingly released, according to some Brighton fans, who was quite popular there amongst the fan base. He obviously went to Rochdale, had a quite successful start, but seemingly he's fell a bit out of the picture as he wants to play in the number 10 role, and he's been playing a lot of time for Rochdale wide right, and he's kind of drifted out the team. There would obviously be the option of maybe getting him in just as a backup, and look to maybe get a few under-23 games under his belt for him. If he's not going to be playing for Rochdale, he could provide us a backup option, especially obviously if we run the risk of obviously injuries, suspensions or COVID, unfortunately, in the build-up. And obviously the problem with Parga and Cashman is both of them would be cup-tied for the FA Cup trip to Southampton. So moving on to the QPR game, obviously we had a discussion with Ben Kosky, who is a QPR fan, last night. He was quite upbeat with how QPR were doing at the moment, and they've obviously brought in Scottish international goalkeeper David Marshall to cover for Sammy Dieng, who is away on African Cup of Nations duty, and also fellow Scotland international Jordan Archer, who unfortunately damaged his shoulder in the FA Cup win, penalties over Rotherham. QPR were also missing Kai Kai and Ilias Chair, who are away on African Nations duty. Former Sky Blue Sam McCallum is still recovering from a hamstring injury, so he will be unavailable for the game. And as it stands at the moment, QPR have been linked with the potential signing of Wolverhampton Wanderers defender Dion Sanderson, who has also been on loan at Birmingham City earlier this season, will probably be well known by most Sky Blues fans for the Blues player that was trying to pull Victor Gyökeres' shirt off his back on a set piece. The standout performers this season for QPR, as per Ben's discussion yesterday, were Chris Willock, who has been arguably one of their key performers, scored some cracking finishes for them this season and has improved massively. Obviously, Sky Blues fans will remember him from last season's game at Loftus Road, where he pretty much destroyed Julian Da Costa down the right-hand side and scored a goal. I think it was after 2 minutes on it. Also, Barbet, it's been a bit of an unsung hero for them. He hardly misses a game for them, pretty similar to Callum O'Hare for us. He's always involved in the games. He's been one of the key performers. And obviously QPR boast a forward line that includes Andre Gray, who is proven Premiership performer, Charlie Austin, who is another proven Premiership performer, Lyndon Dykes, who has obviously played for Scotland and scored goals for them. They also have former Sky Blue George Thomas, who has been playing on the bench, playing off the bench as a sub. So yeah, they're definitely in really good form at the moment after their COVID break, enforced break. But obviously Sky Blues do tend to have a reasonable record with them at home games, and there's normally a history of goals in the fixture, which probably has jinxed it and it'll be 0-0 on Saturday. But yeah, I expect QPR, after speaking to Ben, they will more than likely go with two strikers. It will be a combination of Lyndon Dykes, Andre Gray and Charlie Austin. It will be two from those three, with quick Chris Willock in the box when the hot Callum O'Hare role. They normally have in the past played with a box formation very similar to what Coventry City have. But the absence of Ilias Sher has kind of reverted them to go back to a two up top. Lee Wallace will fill in at left wing back, and their back three will more than likely be Jimmy Dunn, Rob Dickey and Barbette, with possibly Stanfield and Stefan Johansson as their midfield, as with Albert Adoma filling in on the right hand side. In terms of my thoughts on the Coventry City side, I personally would look to bring Simon Moore back in. I'm not convinced Mark Robbins will do that though, but I personally prefer Simon Moore in goal over Ben Wilson. Not to say that Ben Wilson has made anything real wrong. I just think Simon Moore, I just have a little bit more confidence with him in the back, that with our back three and our defending, and the, when the ball's going to the box, he's a bit more of a commanding presence. I expect Todd Kane will start at right wing back. I would expect Todd Kane to have a bit of a point to prove. It'll be interesting to see if he's involved in any flashpoints or any Sky Blues goals, to see the celebrations, because I don't think he'll be a shrinking violet. I don't think there's any love lost with him and QPR as a club. I expect Jake Bidwell to come in on left wing back in place of Jordan Shipley. I would personally stick with the same back three. I know there's an argument to bring McFasdean back in, but I do think long term, Dominic Hyam, Michael Rose, and hopefully Jake Clark-Salter, if we can afford him in the summer and sign him up, or potentially there is an option of Bidwell slotting in as left-sided centre-half, because he has played that position for Swansea, and then obviously we look to bring in another left back in the summer as an option. We obviously have the potential of Declan Drysdale to come back, who's obviously gone out on loan to Ross County to play in the Scottish Premier League against the likes of Celtic and Rangers, will benefit and hopefully further his development on it. Looking at midfield, I think if Gus Hamer's fit, he plays. I think Ben Sheaf is a shoo-in and almost someone who has to start. Liam Kelly obviously has been back playing. He played against Solihull, Moore's B team, and got minutes under his belt, so that's a positive. But I think Kelly will probably stay on the bench personally. It may well be a case that Kelly maybe comes in for the Stoke game, or maybe Borough away if we look to be a bit more compact. I personally would go a bit defensive and stick with the box. I think Jamie Allen and Callum O'Hare play. And then I think Victor Gyökeres plays up front. There is an argument that you go Gyökeres and Waghorn, but Waghorn hasn't really played any minutes under his belt, so it would be a bit of a risk to throw him back in run the risk of him potentially breaking down, which would then leave us with Gyökeres and Tavares, unless we can bring somebody else in. So that would be my team. Looking at the bench, I think Jordan Shipley stays on the bench. You've got Jody Jones. Josh Eccles continues on the bench. Is he an option? Covers midfield. Also covers defence for us. I think Liam Kelly will be on the bench. I would expect to see McFasdean on the bench. And then I think you've got to go with Tavares alongside Waghorn. I like the idea of having two strikers on the bench. The bench might be a bit top-heavy in terms of attacking options, but I think it's something that we've got to be a bit braver and have attacking options. If we're going to go with the box and try and be compact, and almost I see Saturday as don't lose. Just keep QPR within touching. Win would be great. I would love it if we got three wins this week. But I think, and the same standpoint, I don't think three draws would be the worst result in the world, as we have a relatively easier run of fixtures after that. But yeah, I think it's going to be a challenging game for us. But there's some interesting dilemmas for Mark Robbins, and that he could totally surprise us and go two up front. But I do think that he'll bring Jokeres back in, and hopefully the signs on Saturday away at Peterborough that Jokeres looked to be coming a bit back to his old form. So Sky Blues Fans TV regular Victoria has submitted her score prediction, which we will just be hearing from now.
I'm going for a 2-2 draw. I think it'll be an exciting open game, hopefully lots of goals. And so, yeah, 2-2 is my prediction.
Thank you to Victoria for her score prediction of a draw, 2-2. My score prediction will be, I think there will be goals. I could see it potentially being a 3-1, 3-2 win to Coventry City. I expect there will be probably, as is par for the course at the CBS at the moment, I expect there will be a goal late on. QPR have a habit of late goals, and obviously so do Coventry City at the moment. I just feel that it's a win to start this week would jumpstart our season again and give us a bit of momentum. There's been signs over the last couple of weeks that the confidence and form's come back to play. Obviously, Hamer coming back in to the side has benefited us. Also, the switch to the box formation seems to have helped as well. The return of Jake Clark-Salter, I think, it cannot be underestimated that he's made a massive impact in our team at the moment and boosted it. So, yeah, it should be a good battle. I just think Coventry City need to get the first goal against QPR. I don't think you want to be chasing the game against QPR. They've got some good players and obviously some real pace that could cause problems on the break in Willock, Andre Gray if he starts, obviously Adoma. They've got some real pace that they can exploit spaces. If Coventry have to push on and chase the game, definitely. And just to wrap up tonight's pod, just a few quick plugs. Obviously, we're running a Twitter competition with CCFC Prints where you can win free prints from the CCFC Prints range. All the details are there on our at Sky Blue Fans TV 1 Twitter account where you can view and enter the competition. The deadline for it is 7 p.m. on Sunday, and we will be announcing the winner on Sunday's podcast, where we will be joined by a couple of special guests. We have Stoke City fan Elliot, who is joining us, and we will also be joined by Sky Blues fan Paul Gilbert, who has written a book that is currently available on Amazon, which is a love story themed around Coventry City's 1987 FA Cup run, which should be an interesting read. Also, I'd just like to give a quick plug out to a book called by Adam Sloman, Rise Together, which covers the history of Mark Robbins at Coventry City second time around. It's available on Amazon and is released at the end of the month. It can also be purchased via other websites. I believe hive.co.uk have it available now, at a bargain price to read, and it will be a good book to read, which I helped contribute to. And finally, just a shout out for Coventry United Ladies, who have successfully been rescued, and they will be playing at home at the Butts on Sunday, and it is free admission to any children with a paying adult. Further details can be found on the Coventry United Ladies Twitter feed, which is great news to see that they've been saved after the terrible news that was released just before Christmas that the club potentially could be going under, and we don't want to see Coventry as a city lose a sporting team who are obviously on the verge of playing at the highest level of women's football. Anyone who has a free time on Sunday afternoon, it would be great to get behind the team as their first home game after their saviour, which will definitely, I'm sure there'll be a decent turnout, and good work to the team there for the rest of the season, which hopefully they will manage to stave off relegation and do a great escape a la Coventry City. That's the end for tonight's podcast. Just as a final thank you to everyone who's listened to the podcast since August last year. We've now reached over 5,000 listens. We're well on our way to 5,300 listens nearly now. So thank you to everyone for your support, interacting with the channel. And thanks to all our guests who've come on board and joined it. We were looking at continuing and getting some real good guests on moving forward. And obviously check out our next pod on Sunday, which will be released on Sunday evening, where we'll be reviewing the QPR game and obviously previewing the Stoke game next Tuesday. Play up, Sky Blues.